You will no longer stand between me and my destiny.
But I will.
And the masters of the universe. I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
"By the power of Grayskull, I am the
power!" Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together, we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Hello and welcome to another podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Steven. Steven, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. We're back for another podcast. But notice I didn't give away the title at the beginning of the episode because it's not one of our usual podcasts. Because I am a glutton for punishment and enjoy talking with my co-hosting team, Steven and I came up with another podcast to share our opinions with our three listeners. We're really spreading them all over the place. Steven and I really like the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe property. And there's a lot happening with that property in this coming year of 2020 and hopefully beyond. So we decided let's start a podcast and talk about all this stuff. So what you're listening to now is the podcast known as I Have the Power, a He-Man podcast. Now, Steven, I personally love that name. I know you love that name as well.
It won a Twitter poll.
Yeah, and listen, if there's anybody out there that doesn't like the name, it's not our fault. People voted for it, so that's what it is. So if you don't like it, complain with Twitter.
Check it out with them.
Isn't that what Twitter is for anyway, to complain? Is that all people do on there?
It certainly seems that way, yeah.
I don't know, I look up GIFs of Alexa Bliss, but that's just me. So this is our inaugural episode, so we thought we'll talk a little bit about why and how we started with this franchise and why we love it. And we'd also thought, well, let's start by reviewing a comic book, because we promised to do that on our other shows. Well, let's do it here first, and then work our way back to the other shows of doing that as well. So, Steven, let's get right to it with this franchise. How did you come to this franchise? What was your first experience with it? Give us a walkthrough of all that.
Yeah, I watched it very early as a young kid. I had no idea how old I was, but I was absolutely obsessed with it. I had an obsession with swords because of this show. Well, this show and Thundercats. I love both of them when I was a kid. And I remember getting the toys as a kid. And I had a He-Man and a Skeletor, which for some reason, you got all the accessories with like that strap thing he's got across his chest and all. That wasn't there for some reason on He-Man. And Skeletor's was missing as well. But I did have the sword with it. And Skeletor sword. So I had the purple sword and the, I think it was a silver or white sword. I can't remember if it was white. I think it was silver. I think the bigger sword I had, which was for me, I think that one was white.
Okay.
And it was the same design as the little toy, really. Same sword. And yeah, I was obsessed. And I remember I used to watch the cartoon religiously. And it was just, it just kind of ticked all the boxes to me. It was like a big, powerful, technically, and he's not technically, but he kind of is a superhero. Well, I guess he is a superhero, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he's got, enhanced strength.
Yeah, he's got something, hasn't he? Because he's
when he transforms, he's got a sword.
He might be dead in 2 seconds.
that classifies that, yeah.
But one of the toys I remember mostly having was it was the classic He-Man, but he had a metal back, and what you'd do is you could pull the back out, and you could put, you know, them caps in used to put in cap guns. Those like red things.
Yeah.
And then when you twisted it, his arms would move, and it would pop the caps at the same time, which I used to love it as a kid, but thinking back, it's kind of like, what if your arms are making those noises, so it's not right.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a superhero, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Big thing for me as a kid was the movie, which I know it's kind of become a cult classic, but it was a bit of a flop in the day. But I think even though it wasn't faithful to the cartoon, I just loved it because it was He-Man. And for me, Dolph Lundgren just looked like He-Man.
Yeah.
So it was like, I just thought it was perfect casting, even though some disagree now, but as I've seen on various documentaries and stuff. So, yeah, and then I liked the 90s series as well when I was a kid, and I remember getting the armor and all the sword. I had, like, everything for that, the little toys and the big sword, because, I had an obsession with swords when I was a kid. And I remember we got burgled one year, and I was down in Oxford, and I was worried that someone had stolen my He-Man body armor. So when I got home, after we'd been burgled, we came home the next day. I ran upstairs to check under the bed to make sure my He-Man body armor was there, and it was. I don't know why I thought criminals would want He-Man body armor, but
I mean, who wouldn't even fit them. Who wouldn't really like? It's such a Sheldon Cooper. It reminds me of the Big Bang Theory episode with Rob, and he's freaking out over his World of Warcraft account.
Other memories I've got. I remember one year being at a kid's party, and they had He-Man on, and they turned it off and put Flintstones on. I was fuming. Yeah. That's another funny memory I remember. I remember we used to go to this social club thing on a Saturday as kids, and they used to have He-Man on there on the telly. But I used to get really annoyed when I got there and it was She-Ra, because obviously being a little boy, I didn't like She-Ra, I liked He-Man. But knowing what I know now, He-Man was in like 50% of the episodes of She-Ra. So I don't know how I always caught the ones where he wasn't in it, but somehow I did.
I was the universe telling you to suck it up and enjoy it.
Well, I probably should. Thing is, I probably would enjoy it now. Just when I was a kid, I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And I used to have to sit through My Little Pony to get to He-Man.
Oh.
I hated My Little Pony. So sitting through it and then He-Man doesn't come on, it's She-Ra. I was not impressed.
You're like, wait a minute, I've been duped.
So yeah, that's really my memories of it. Just having the toys and the animation and the movie was huge for me. And I always remember Skeletor at the end saying, I'll be back. And I was convinced for years afterwards I was getting a sequel that never came. So,
yeah.
Goddamn canon films. So, yeah, I suppose that's my He-Man origin story.
Yeah.
So, well,
it's interesting because for me, I'm pretty sure that I mean, it started really early on, obviously, for me. I don't know. I may have caught it when it was like in syndication or a rerun or whatever, because He-Man was sort of quote unquote born in 1983, correct?
In terms of animation, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when I was born. So it had to have been in reruns because, unless I was watching it from the womb. Which is, as far as I know, an impossible. Yeah, can you imagine? I have the bar and I'm kicking away. Where's my sword? I definitely watched it in, you know, syndication or rerun or whatever. And I just, like I said, a couple of things fascinated me. One was, like you, I loved his sword.
Yeah.
And the whole idea that, you know, the idea of a magical sword, I was like, ooh, this is, I mean, like swords were cool to me back then.
Yeah.
But then you add the magic element, I'm like, oh man, that's, I mean, I want one. I always wanted one. And the other thing that I kind of liked and identified with was that when he wasn't He-Man, his name was Adam, like mine. So I'm like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
I if I had that sword, I could be him. So I was, you know, kind of connected with him because we had the same name.
Are you trying to tell me you spent a lot of time in your underpants?
Yeah, I the only thing I didn't have was the pink shirt.
Do you know what? You know what gets me looking back? He-Man and Prince Adam looked exactly alike.
Oh yeah.
Even to the ripped muscles, they basically just had him in a tight pink shirt, didn't they?
Yeah, that was the only difference. The sword just removed his clothes. And altered his voice.
All right, if you get it, shower.
The sword was basically puberty.
Yeah, I guess so.
Put his clothes and change his shirt. I like the fact that we had the same name. That was cool. And I remember for Christmas one year, that's where the toy aspect came in. I got He-Man everything from everybody in my family at one point. One Christmas, I think I got Castle Grayskull from quote-unquote Santa Claus.
I got mine secondhand off my cousin because he didn't want it anymore.
Oh wow!
But it was broken. But I didn't care.
Oh, it was broken. Okay, because I was gonna say, but he's kicking himself now. I didn't know how much that shit's worth.
I wish I still had it. I ain't got it anymore.
Yeah. So yeah, I got so Santa Claus got me Castle Grayskull. My parents, without quotations, actually got me a He-Man and it was He-Man and Battle Cat that I got from
there. But I had Battle Cat as well. Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
And then I don't know if it was one of my aunts and uncle got me Skeletor and his equivalent, I can't remember what his the thing that he used to ride, the Bizarro Battle Cat, you know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what the name of it is, but that.
I ain't got a clue, mate. Well, I guess we'll discover as we watch some of the episodes.
As we watch the show, we'll figure it out. I swear we watched this way back when. I had all those to start, like one Christmas, and I used to, like you, every time the show was on, I was transfixed, like I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind She-Ra. I mean, at that stage of my youth, you know, I was still under the impression that girls had cooties. So it's not like I was attracted to the cartoon version of She-Ra.
I always liked Teela, though, for some reason.
Yeah, she was like, because she was like part of the army, you know, with Man at Arms and all those guys. So she was part of the crew, you know what I mean? But I never disliked She-Ra. I would watch. It's almost like before you realize that He-Man's in a lot of it, like you said. You see, even though as a kid you don't know that, hey, it's a spinoff, right? Like you don't understand what that means, but as you see the visual similarities, and then they start talking about, you know, and then as you watch the show, you realize, oh hey, it's the same. We're dealing with the same universe.
Yeah, well, did she debut in that Christmas special where you saw her origin, or was that, I think it was called Secret of the Sword or something, wasn't it?
No, the Christmas special came after she was established.
Right, okay. But she's his sister, isn't she? Imagine if they hadn't known.
I'm glad they did, because that would have damaged many childhoods. Many a stripper would have been born out of that show, if that was the case. But I'm glad we're talking about a kids' show. We've already divulged,
it's one of our podcasts. We always lower the.
Yeah, we always go there. So I watched you, and you know, to this day though, I still every year at Christmas time, you know. Part of my ritual for Christmas is, of course, on the Batman side, watching Batman Returns. Mm. And I also watch the Christmas special every year. The He-Man, you know.
Oh, really? I haven't watched it for years, mate.
Yeah, it's not by any means
And if you can't get hold of it, it's free on YouTube.
Yeah, it is on YouTube. Yeah, but but it's funny because it's through their official channel, so it's not like they're hiding it. They've put it out. So
yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I do watch that every year. Again, it's not, some sort of Pixar Oscar-winning, show. But what to expect from He-Man and She-Ra, and you put yourself in that mindset. And yeah. If you have a smile on your face when watching that, then you listen to the wrong show. It's part of my Christmas ritual. And, as the years went by, I got more of the toys. And I had, I don't know if I had every single character, but all the core characters I had.
I think you had more than I did.
Now, where are they now? Well, I don't have them anymore. Why? Because I like to tell this story every time I do a new podcast. My mother, the wonderful lady that she is, and the very giving lady that she is, decided that we were going to give some of my toys to charity, which I have zero problem with. I'm fully endorsed.
Yeah.
When you're done with your toys or when you've outgrown them, spread the wealth and give some to those less fortunate. But this was still when I was a kid, because I had so many toys, naturally some get given away. Well, the purge, as I like to call it, was not done with my knowledge, or I wasn't consulted because I was a kid. They think, I don't have to ask him, which he's distracted by other toys. Why would he care? And the casualties of the purge was my He-Man collection 1 year. And I'm like, hey, where'd my He-Man toys go? Oh, we gave them away to the poor kids. And I was like, well, but I wasn't done with it. Like I wanted those still, So, and to this day, I still wish I had them. So again, I'm not upset. I hope whoever got them had as much of a wonderful experience as I had.
They'll be cashing in now.
Yeah, probably.
Ka-ching!
Guy's probably living in a mansion room by now.
He's living in a real castle, Grayskull.
Probably as a replica forged in steel sort of car. But no, I hope the kid had a wonderful experience and created as many fictional stories with those toys as I did. But now looking back and the fact that I collect, vintage comic books, and I have some figures of the superheroes and statues and such. Mm-hmm. Man, would I love to have some of those in my possession still, because I took very good care of my toys, even though I played with them quite a bit. So I would love to have them, but like I said, all in all, I hope, maybe it brought the show to somebody else and created another fan out there. So if that's what it did, or if it just gave some less fortunate child a good Christmas, well, then it was all worth it. But at the time, I was a little bit upset. But
you get over it, don't you?
Yeah, I got over it. when I realized girls didn't have cooties anymore, I got over it. So it was the combination of the toys and the cartoon.
I think we're exactly the same, aren't we?
Both fueled the my excitement for this franchise. In terms of the movie, which was, what year was the movie again?
87.
Okay. I watched it, I believe, on home video. Because
I did too. Yeah,
the first movie I had ever seen in theaters was Batman 89, and then the second one I saw in theaters.
Do you know what I loved about the Master Universe movie? The VHS, the cover art. Thought the cover art was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
I wish the Blu-ray had it.
Yeah, it would be nice if the Blu-ray had, if they could have mimicked that. So I remember watching it on video, and again, like you echoed, it's not a masterpiece. It's not, what we've come to know of these kind of genre films nowadays. And as an adult, when you think about it, it's like it doesn't have Oracle, it doesn't have Cringer or Battle Cat. You're barely in Eternia. But as a kid, I didn't care because it was He-Man on screen.
And don't you think as well, like, you know, like the Castle Grayskull is like a matte painting. You didn't notice when you were a kid, did you?
No.
Stuff like that. I just thought that was Castle Grayskull. I'm like, oh my God.
To me, I'm like, hey, but wait, because I didn't know sets or any of this shit. When I watched the movie, I'm like, hey, that, when I was really young, I'm like, hey, that exists? I want to, when can we go there? are they open to visitors? But I didn't care that it didn't have all those elements back then because he had his sword. He barely used it, but he had his sword.
He uses it enough, though, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but I mean, would have liked some more usage of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
well, I always thought we were getting a sequel, so.
Yeah, well, so did I.
He said I'll be back, and he still hasn't come back.
Well, he came back, but it was Perry White. And then he didn't come back for that either. He really doesn't understand the meaning of I'll be back, I guess.
He's no Arnold Schwarzenegger, is he?
No. But again, like, I didn't care that stuff wasn't there, you know, at that time. I
think as a kid, though, we probably just wanted He-Man and Skeletor, didn't we? So much.
Yeah, Skeletor. And that's what we had.
And I think Skeletor's fantastic in it as well. He's like...
Yeah, and he's still one of the best cinematic villains.
Yeah, I agree.
But we'll go into that more when we...
I'm looking forward to doing that, actually.
But I liked... I liked I guess I'll put some of my now perspective into it. What I still do like of that movie is it's got a very, you know, New Gods kind of aspect to it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, like from DC Comics, right? Of course. It's also true that you know, Skeletor's minions look like stormtroopers wearing black, but yeah, the mix of the New Gods elements and the Star Wars elements, I still dig that stuff.
And it's got a very Superman-ish score, hasn't it, as well?
Oh, the theme, oh yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely love that theme.
And it's a great score as well. I recently bought the... somebody did a remastered of it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And I bought it.
That's cool.
So I do have the score. But yeah, I still love the... And back in the day, in terms of Dolph Lundgren, he's still, to this day, he looks like He-Man. I mean,
one more.
I mean, his comprehension of the English language at that point was not the best, but I mean,
yeah, I think if it would have been the performer he was now,
right? Yeah,
he's a much better actor now, isn't he? He would have delivered. Yeah, but I thought he did fine anyway. To be honest,
I agree. I think he did a serviceable job.
Yeah,
and I loved the movie as a kid unabashedly, and I thought it was one of the greatest things I had ever seen back then. Well, I don't think it was it's one of the greatest things I've seen now. I still unabashedly love it. I know what it is. I know what it's not.
Yeah.
And I love it regardless.
We've got the nostalgia for it, haven't we? You remember how it made you feel as a kid, so that feeling still comes back, doesn't it? Yeah.
And you know what? People scoff at nostalgia. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. It's a powerful drug, isn't it?
Yeah. And the good thing is, whenever we do get the new movie, it doesn't have in terms of authenticity or story pacing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. It doesn't have a high bar to exceed. So it's not like a Superman movie where okay, you've got Superman 78 to contend with.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, an absolute classic. Yeah.
Like, I think even with our nostalgic lenses on, right? When we go see the new movie, hopefully while we're still cognizant and in possession of our faculties, we won't be, oh my God, it better be exactly like the original or else I revolt. No. With the new movie, I want to see Eternia. I want to see Battlecat. I want to see...
Yeah. And I wouldn't ever compare the two because they were made in very different times, you know? Yeah. You look at the landscape now of even just adaptations compared to then. People didn't, like, really adapt things like they do now, like comic book properties and even, like, you know, like Star Wars and stuff. I mean, Star Wars is a different kind of animal, but you know what I'm saying, don't you? Like, I'd say geek culture now is very much... They kind of have to make things kind of in line with the source material. And, you know, back then they didn't really have to, did they? Because it was a different time.
And now the filmmakers that are being brought in probably have a connection to the source material themselves. And it's just a culture where we've been spoiled by our you know, comic book / fantasy kind of movies where they've reached a certain quality. So now... They're not just thought of as throwaway, you know, quote unquote, kids movies to sell toys.
Yeah.
So it's a different ballgame now. So you're right. You can't really, even if Masters of the Universe, the original, was the greatest cinematic experience of all time, you still couldn't compare the two.
And so,
like I said, I'm going to love it for eternity. Regardless of if people try and judge it with a modern, you know, film lens, and everything else points to that it's not the greatest thing in the world, I'm still gonna love it because, like you said, nostalgia and how that movie made me feel when I was younger. So, but I can't wait to. Review that movie at some point soon on this very podcast.
I think we should build up to that.
Yeah,
make it a big deal out of it. Maybe we can time it so. Like,
I was gonna say when they announce the new movie, but Jesus, when they tell us that it's going into production because they've announced the movie.
But it's supposed to be coming out in March 2021, isn't it? But obviously, you know, you don't know. It's probably not likely given the time. I mean, they could do it, but...
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. There's still plenty of time in the window to start and get it done. I mean, for it to...
David Goyer was one of the writers, wasn't he, on the script? So.
Well, one of the versions, but... so here's what... Basically, from what I understand, as long as they start filming this summer, they can make that release date. Now, right now they have the latest draft of the script was written by the writers of the first Iron Man film.
Okay. So David Goyer was on an earlier version of the
script. An earlier draft, yes.
Right, okay.
He's still an executive producer on it.
Yeah.
Right now,
and it's got two directors, haven't it? Yeah.
The Knee Brothers, Adam, and I don't know what the other guy's name is.
Aaron.
Right
in front of me. I didn't just pull it
out. Adam, Aaron, Knee, and I have Adam on Instagram.
Ah, okay.
And from their posts, things are still going according to plan, and they're back at work. So.
Oh, that's good then.
Work is still happening. We still, at least... From what we know, Noah Centineo, I think is his name.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
It's still playing He-Man. For all those people that are worried, I'm sure hair dye will come into play. Relax. And so we'll keep you updated. But from what I've garnered from his Instagram posts is that things are still happening according to plan. And they can't wait to show us what they've been working on. They just have to wait till they're allowed to. So, that's the situation that we're in. So cross fingers that everything continues. The only question will become whether, I mean, we'll talk about this near the end of our podcast, how it gets released, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
But besides our experience with the toys in the original movie, as we said off the top, we did want to do a comic book review. And we mentioned Superman earlier in the podcast. Mm. And it was a good reason that we did that, because the comic that we're going to review is the first ever team-up in printed history between Superman and He-Man. So what comic? Give us the particulars, Stephen. What comic?
It is a DC Comics Presents, so it's DC Comics Presents number 47, and it's Superman and the Master of the Universe, which DC Comics Presents was always Superman and somebody. So there was one in particular team that was Superboy, which was a bit weird because it was him as a boy, but anyway.
Superman against himself.
Yeah.
As a boy.
And the story title is From Eternia with Death. Which I thought was funny. Oh. I think it quite matches the story, but never mind.
But it sells the book, so.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a few of the credits here. So the writer was Paul Kupperberg. The penciler was Kurt Swan. He did Superman pretty much all throughout the 80s, 70s, didn't he? Period. And the inker was Mike DiCarlo. And the plot... Superman is drawn into another dimension to help He-Man and Battlecat fight off Skeletor and Beastman, who are attempting to take over Castle Grayskull. Now, did you know, Adam, this comic was done prior to the animated series?
I had no idea.
It was 1982.
I wasn't even here yet.
Yeah. Well, when they first made the toys, and I know this from the wonderful Netflix documentaries, the toys had comics in them. Which they just kind of made up on the spot because they needed to sell the toys.
Yeah, the mini comics. Yeah.
So from the mini comics, I think they did a special deal with DC, and DC did this and a Master of the Universe special, I believe, afterwards. But when you actually read the comic, you can tell it's prior to the cartoon because the characters act a little bit differently and look a little bit differently as well, which we'll obviously get into as we review the book. So, have you got any overall thoughts, or should we do that at the end and just go through it best we can? I've done some points on the...
Yeah, give us your points and we'll go through those, and then we'll give our...
Well, first thing I wanted to talk about was the cover art, because I absolutely love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. What do you think to the cover art?
Oh, I think it's a fantastic cover. And, there's the... we see Castle Grayskull in the background, and... He-Man and Superman look like they're ready to go at it. And, you know, it's funny because even though we don't want to see our heroes fighting, there's something visually appealing about them fighting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like that you've obviously got Skeletor in the background pointing the sword at Superman when it's got that like energy around him. And then Castle Grayskull's like in the background as well. It's just like it's a stunning. I mean, this is the thing. If I'd have seen this as a kid, I'd have thrown pennies at it.
or said, "Hey, Ma, hey, Dad, how about you buy that for me? I've been good." And they'll look at you and be like, "Really? Have you? I don't know." And it would be this whole debate. And depending on the strictness of your parent, you'd get it or not get it.
I think my mom would have bought me it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have got it. I'm not saying I was spoiled, but let's be honest. I was a saint as a kid. Now I've devolved. But back in the good old days, I was a pretty good kid. And then all went out the window as adulthood came in. But it's because they gave away my toys. See, that's the byproduct.
That's what tipped you up, wasn't it? Yeah.
it was my pull to the dark side. They gave away. Yeah, I love the cover. My only sort of issue with the cover
Yeah.
Is I hate when they put word bubbles and have characters talking.
Yeah. It kind of gives you a brief summary with the plot, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't need that on the cover. That's what the inside.
No, but they used to do that back in those days, didn't they?
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I would have liked that cover would have looked even more badass if it didn't have the words.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But I know back in the day they'd always do these, wouldn't they? Like, there's that one where Supergirl, when she first appeared in Superman, don't she? And it basically says, like, I have all your powers, I'm your cousin, and all that. So it kind of. It almost teases you, doesn't it? Because then you're like this cover, for example, he's saying, he's talking about Skeletor controlling him, Superman, isn't he? And he's like, I could die
Yeah, it tells you why they're
fighting. Yeah. So that's kind of the pull in it. So you supposedly, as a kid, supposed to read that, although you probably wouldn't even bother, you'd probably just see cover out and buy it anyway. But
I would have said, I would have bypassed it because I would have been like, I want that automatically.
And if you notice the Grayskull design, it's very similar to the original Grayskulls that they had when they did the first line of toys, and it's got the little light cannon on the top.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite interesting. So it's just like one cannon on one side, and that's it.
No, overall, I love the cover. Like,
it's beautiful, isn't it?
I'll just say right now, the cover gets a 9 out of 10.
Would it be a 10 if you removed the bubbles?
Yeah, it would have been a 10 if it didn't have the words.
Yeah, fair enough. Dialogue. But it's definitely a striking cover, isn't it?
It's fantastic. That,
yeah. So, should we dive into the comic now and go from points? So, you first meet Prince Adam, and he's quite. His personality is not what you expect if you've ever watched the cartoon, is it? He's a bit of a delinquent in some respects.
Yeah. I mean, the first shot, or one of the first shots, might not be the first shot, but he's at a bar.
Yeah, that follows this, doesn't it? You've got, because what you have here is you meet him and he's in the, he's lifting some weights or something, but it's like, it's not weights, but it's meant to be weights, isn't it? Like that kind of.
Yeah, he's training with.
Man-at-Arms.
Yeah.
Who doesn't have his mustache, which found weird.
Yeah. He's got. Now that you mentioned, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't really like him, does he? He's kind of a bit like, he's a bit fed up with him, isn't he? Because
Prince Adam doesn't listen to what he wants him to do.
Yeah.
He's not taking, he's not taking the training seriously enough for Man-at-Arms' liking.
Yeah, and this is something I wanted to ask you, because there's obviously the parallel. You see, in the next panels after this, you see Clark Kent, because he was a news reporter at the time, wasn't he?
But you
see him kind of tripping over the wire, and he's doing his klutzy thing. It made me think, is this Prince Adam's personality, or do you think this is his disguise?
I definitely think it's a disguise.
Yeah.
Because I think when they showed... You know, Prince Adam getting into a bar fight and then transition over to Superman. Or, sorry. Clark Kent. Spoiler, they're the same person. That,
what?
And if you're shocked by that, I don't know what the hell to tell you. Where the hell have you been since 1938? But Clark Kent, like you said, in the newsroom and...
And he's an eye in the guy he's working for, isn't he?
Yeah, but in a totally different way, because he's been...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he pretends, I mean, he actually does it, but he's pretending to be klutzy and trip over
the wire. He even says it feels bad about doing it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Superman feels bad about Clark feels bad about it. Adam doesn't seem like bad about it.
He doesn't give a crap, does he?
I gotta do it, but it's fun, so why, who cares?
Well, you've kind of brought up the bar fight, haven't you? You've watched The Witcher, haven't you, as well?
That's a good point.
I kept thinking to The Witcher, even obviously because The Witcher's obviously we've seen it later than than the comic is. But I'm almost like watching The Witcher, and I'm thinking, thinking about The Witcher, I'm thinking, I think that's how you do He-Man, don't you? You kind of do that sort of style.
You know, look, I'm all for Noah Centineo. That's it, right? I'm gonna struggle with this guy's name forever. Just make the movie so I can call him He-Man and move on. but I'm all for him in the role. I give him a chance on 9 yards. I support it.
Yeah.
But as I'm watching The Witcher. Now that you brought it up, I'm like, well, okay. Assuming Henry Cavill doesn't come back as Superman.
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
Guys are blonde and calling him man.
Yeah. But just even going back to that, you've obviously got in the first episode of The Witcher, those guys in that bar trying to start a fight with the, you know, with, is it Geralt he's called, isn't it? I'm trying to remember his name. Yeah, yeah. And then here, you've got Prince Adam, who is dying to have a fight with this guy to the point where he's just relishing it, isn't he? He's like, I can't wait to have a fight with this guy until Teela stops it happening. But it's kind of funny when you think, because watching that, then watching it, you kind of think of those parallels, don't you, about the bar and how similar they are? Because obviously Adam wanted to get, but in this Adam wanted to fight, and in that Geralt didn't want to fight the humans, did he? So I thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously Teela comes, doesn't she, and stops it happening because she's got to protect Prince Adam. But
right. There's
definitely some chemistry in there between those two.
What I liked about that scene is several things. They clearly established right off the bat Teela being a badass, like, you know, she's her own woman. She's strong. She's you know, she's essentially a high ranking, if not, I mean, Man at Arms is probably the leader, but she's, you know, probably his second in command. Would you say?
Yeah, yeah.
So they establish her as a strong, independent warrior kind of woman. And they do that, and in her private conversation with Prince Adam, you could tell the way they interact, like the witty banter, teasing of each other, that there's some romantic feelings there. But they never made her like immature or.
No.
Like a girl as I always describe it, a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what that means. Like,
here's an
example. Jane in Thor, in the first Thor, that was a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert.
Yes.
That's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I like that.
You get the feeling though, don't you? If anything were to happen, Man at Arms won't be happy about
it. Oh no, I wouldn't like that. Would be, I wouldn't want to go and have to go, hey, guess what? Me and your daughter are dating.
Yeah.
I'd wait till I transform into He-Man and then walk in. Hey, guess what? What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Come at me, bro. I got you.
Now you mention it, this is because in the cartoon, only a few people know that He-Man is Prince Adam, and one of them is Man at Arms, but in this, I get the impression he doesn't know.
Right, yeah, same.
But obviously, this was prior to the cartoon, so they obviously changed things to the cartoon. I mean, the thing I found interesting about just the beginning of this story with the Prince Adam stuff is how it was kind of a bit more mature than I was expecting because of how the cartoon is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously, you've got. Like Prince Adam's personality is completely different to what it is in the cartoon as well.
And you know what the funny thing about that is, Stephen, is that, and I had to make sure I got the right co-host, that's why I stumbled. I'm having a crisis on Infinite co-host.
I'm the only one from England, so you should...
Yeah, crisis on Infinite co-host, that's the next question. No.
Spoiler, somebody won't be back. He got destroyed already. His Earth's been destroyed.
Well, that was a long time. And I'm not bringing him back for the crossover either. We're going to resurrect him via CGI. I mean, he's alive. We're going to bring him back via CGI. Like James Dean. What I noticed about the difference is that, in the cartoon, he's very much meek and bumbly.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bit like...
Kind of like Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Very Clark Kent-y. I've just coined the phrase, Clark Kent-y. but in this, he's a little bit of an arrogant playboy kind of attitude.
Yeah, which is a bit more like Bruce Wayne.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good call. Yeah, that's a good pull. Yeah.
As far as I know, the Queen's name is not Martha, so We're good if once the fight breaks out.
Yeah, the fight doesn't end like that. But.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, so it's just in the cartoon, Prince Adam is more like Clark Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this comic, he's more like facade Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I found very interesting. Yeah.
When we talk about the movie later, bring this back up, because I think we should talk about it then. I think it'd be interesting to talk about what we think they could do in the film. So, so from there, we obviously, Superman... No, we got to Castle Grayskull and Skeletor's decided.
Oh wait, hold on a second. I gotta mention something about Superman.
Oh yeah, go on. Yeah.
That I didn't, or Clark Kent. It was so jarring for, and I know this is part of his continuity, but it was so jarring. Like every time I see him as a TV reporter, it throws me off, like you wouldn't believe.
It was the '70s, man.
But hold on a second.
Oh, sorry, the early '80s for the '70s.
Mike, well, okay, now this comic was 82.
Yeah.
So this is pre-crisis?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So this is Kal-El with an L, right?
Ah, that's the confusing... I think so, yeah. It's all a bit confusing.
I'm just going to pretend it is, because I'm at the... Prove me wrong, DC. Show me where... Yeah, because I remember... The only reason I'm saying that is because I recently read... Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, they got yeah.
Okay. And he was a TV reporter there as well. So
No. I think Kal-El with the L. He's the one that works for the Daily Star, isn't he?
Oh right.
So this is Kal-El. This is supposed to be
EL.
But he's very Kryptonian with his great row and things like that. And
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the one with the EL then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what the hell? It's confusing.
what the hell?
Yeah. And that's hell with an E and two L's. But no, I just, to me, it was jarring. Whenever I see Clark Kent as a television newsman, it throws me off a bit.
Yeah, it was very, it dates that period.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons they did a reset, didn't they? So they wanted to reset Superman. So.
Yeah, as opposed to nowadays, they're doing a reset every 5 years.
Well, that's a new number one.
Hey!
yeah, so from the...
Money!
bar fight, we see Skeletor, don't we, at Castle Grayskull trying to open the door with one sword, which, prior to the cartoon, the story arc for the comics with the toys was he was supposed to unite the two swords and the two swords would open the castle, which was quite interesting. That was on the documentary I watched, obviously I didn't know that because the cartoon, there's nothing about that, is there? So.
About the two swords?
No, in the cartoon there is there.
Yeah, you're right. It's more of a comic book thing.
Yeah, so because I think it was prior to the animated series, so... The animated series just kind of did away with that.
But even the modern day comics kind of still deal with the uniting of the swords. And
I kind of like it, and I actually think it'd be quite interesting an avenue to take in either the new animated series or the film. You know, just
there's something more. It adds to the mythological nature of it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you, which I think was what they were going for, weren't they, when they created the toy line. So, well, they were just going to making money, basically. But...
No, it makes it more Lord of the Rings-ish.
Two swords. And if you actually get the two swords of the toy, they fit into the hand of either Skeletor or He-Man because they're designed to open the castle. So,
yeah.
Quite interesting. So, in this anyway, Skeletor's... He's bemoaning that he's only got one sword, but he reckons he's still got power enough to open the castle. And then He-Man somehow gets warning, doesn't he? I've come the sorceress, isn't it?
Mm.
And then he just happens to run by into this nearby cave, which I'm thinking, hang on a minute, what have you want near that cave? Because in the comic, obviously, in the cartoon, he does the whole sword thing, doesn't he, with I had the power and that.
Okay, now my question is, I'm confused about this.
Yeah.
Was he already He-Man, or was this the first time he He-Maned?
I think he's already He-Man. I think what he does is he has to go to the sorceress to change her, doesn't he? I see what you mean, because she's got the sword, hasn't she?
Yeah, so what does she do? She points at, like, every time, can you imagine every time he's going to change, like, hey,
all right, gotta find that cave.
Change me, girl. The sorceress is his own wardrobe consultant, and she's like, oh, screw it, I'm not designing clothes. Go in a loincloth, jackass.
Well, from there, because Skeletor's zapping the castle with his sword, it kind of somehow on Earth creates some sort of electrical storm cloud, and Superman flies towards it, and because he flies towards it, he ends up transporting into Eternia and that Earth. And then does he fight Skeletor before He-Man gets there, or does He-Man fight him first? I can't remember. I read it last night as well.
He runs into to Skeletor, and they have a little bit of a altercation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then obviously Skeletor,
because when Superman starts feeling the effects of magic.
Yeah, because he cuts his suit, doesn't he, with the which disappears.
I love Superman's dialogue. How did you cut my indestructible suit? There's only two explanations. Kryptonite, which is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
So it must be magic. I'm like, really? You have to work on that.
Well, it's funny as well, because Superman's very confused about what's going on. And he just kind of is a bit dismissive of it all, and he's like, oh, I don't really want to know.
I'm already here, who cares?
Yeah. So obviously Man-at-Arms joins the fight in his little thing, ship thing.
Yeah.
And then Skeletor gets control of He-Man, and sorry, of Superman, and then we get Superman versus He-Man. So what do you think of all this?
I mean, it was of course... The conceit of magic is the only way you're going to get Superman and He-Man fighting.
Yeah.
So that was an obvious.
Yeah. On the same planet.
Yeah. Exactly. So that was an obvious plot point.
Mm.
In terms of the fight between the two of them, it's relatively short.
Yeah.
But I do love how, you know, He-Man just grabs Superman's cape and, like, throws him down to the ground. as if he was doing that to, you know, as if he had done that to Jimmy Olsen, who was wearing a towel. It shows you how strong He-Man is.
Yeah,
but then,
yeah.
Like, Superman, when he gets his faculties about him, throws one punch.
Yeah.
And it's a haymaker and knocks, you know, He-Man flying.
Yeah, he sort of comes out on top, doesn't he? So in my thoughts, I'm thinking, well, does that mean Superman's more powerful than He-Man, or did he just catch him?
Well, you know what it is? It's because there's two reasons. One, the title says Superman first. So
yeah, it's his comic, isn't it? Yeah,
there's that. Second, like you said, Mattel was the one that owned He-Man. So, you know, DC didn't own it.
Hmm.
So they're not, they're going to give He-Man, they're going to make He-Man look good, but they're not going to prop him up over
somebody. Yeah.
A character they own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where I think it stems from.
Yeah, like you say, it's relatively short, because what the thing with these comics presents is the stories were, I don't know how exactly many pages they were, but they'd always have like a backup story, weren't they? So they obviously only had so much time to tell the story they told. So what you get's kind of cool, isn't it? Some cool visuals and stuff. So, and then Skeletor orders Superman to fly at the castle, but because he has like a last spin concentration, Superman's able to use his heat vision to melt like the earth around him and trap him.
Yeah.
And obviously, once he's done that, Skeletor breaks out and basically does a run. He's like, I guess I didn't mention as well that Beastman's there as well during this fight, but Superman, like, beats him up in about, like, three panels.
Yeah, I think of all the characters that get the shaft here, it's Skeletor.
Yeah, I guess so, a little bit. He's kind of a bit of a rubbish plot, really, isn't it? Because he sort of comes out of nowhere, and then he has a fight with him, and then he just buggers off. But
yeah,
there's no sort of plot behind it, is there? He's just that day he's like, I'm gonna have a go at the castle again.
You know, that's his only concern is I gotta get behind this wall.
I'd love it if he opened it. There was like nothing in it. It was just dusty.
Like I can sympathize with Scarlet. I mean, he's assuming that the other sword is there, right?
I don't know. I don't think he's that clear. I think he knows he needs both swords to get in the castle, but
yeah.
He's so arrogant that he thinks he can get in anyway. And I assume with Superman, he had the thought that Superman could penetrate the wall.
Because doesn't He-Man have the other sword?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
So just go after He-Man. Like, what's the big urgency? I mean, look, if I was in his shoes, the only way I'm so concerned with knocking down that door is if Margot Robbie's behind there. Then I'm like, hey, Supes, come here, I need your help. Yeah.
Why didn't Skeletor just say, hey, man, look, right, we don't like each other. Why don't we just open this door and see what's behind it? Instead of just hanging about outside of it.
Like, what's with all this fighting? Let's just go, let's knock over this door. I got one sword, you got the other sword. Let's see what's in here. Maybe the sorceress keeps some, I don't know.
I believe in the toy line, it was one of those, if you control the castle, you control the power. I think that was what it was supposed to be about, but the comic could have really done with kind of setting that up. Maybe you could have had like an opening narration at the start or something. It doesn't really set it up, does it? It's just like, you just know he wants to get in this castle and you're like, well, why is he so desperate to get inside this castle? What's in it? It doesn't look like it's a very homely place.
Yeah, like I want to know what's in there because, again, this predates the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Which I guess if you had the toy, you knew what was in there. A load of stickers of panels.
good point, yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting that Superman defeats Skeletor as well, not He-Man, or not like a joint thing. He-Man kind of, once he gets knocked on his ass by Superman, doesn't really do much, does he?
Yeah, He-Man's kind of resigned. He's like, all right. This guy's clearly got power. I'll let him handle Skeletor. I'm taking the rest of the day off.
Yeah, I'm not breaking a sweat today.
Let's go to the bar.
At the end, he says to Superman, oh, I can explain everything. And Superman's like, no, I don't think I'll bother. Oh, there's a storm cloud. I'm going to go. He's just like, he can't wait to get out of there.
Superman's like, I don't give a shit. I'm going home. Let's wrap it up. Lois has dinner on the table. Let's go. I'll make it quick.
I tell you what I did like, though, that He-Man mentioned that his mother's from Earth, and that's in the cartoon as well, isn't it? She's from Earth in the cartoon. Yes, so it's like interesting to know that was there from the start and it wasn't something that I did later.
Yeah, no, that was there from the very beginning.
Mm. So have you got anything else to say about this comic?
No, I think we covered everything. I think we covered them.
I think the winning thing is the art. I think the art's really nice, which is Kurt Swan in it. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, look, yeah, Kurt Swan is a preeminent Superman artist. He's one of the top, you know, in the Mount Rushmore of Superman artists.
Well, they kind of had to boot him off the comic, didn't they? Because he'd been on it so long. When John Byrne came in, John Byrne wanted to kind of revamp the way Superman looked. So.
Yeah.
But he did team up with Kurt Swan, didn't he, on that Superman and the Earth Stealers? Yeah. So he did bring him back. It wasn't like he just ignored him. So.
Yeah. No, but he's like, again, if we're talking about the Mount Rushmore of Superman artists, I'd venture to say that you know, Kurt Swan is definitely part of that
totally.
Conversation and on that list. And his art is just beautiful. It's a very classic interpretation of Superman.
Yeah.
And when I see it, it just feels like you're... How's the phrasing? It feels like you're at home. You know, there's a comfort to it. You know what I mean? So I really love... And his take on He-Man is great too.
Yeah, I really liked it, yeah.
Spot on. But in terms of the writing, like, look, I mean, the story is not, again, it's not going to win any awards.
Different era in it as well, yeah.
Yeah, a simpler time. They knew who they were targeting with this.
Yeah. I'm sure if we'd read it as kids, we'd have completely eaten it up, wouldn't we, and been like, oh my God.
But what I did, with the parts I did like of the story were the parts that alternated back and forth between Prince Adam and Clark Kent, because it showed us the parallels between the two heroes, but also the differences.
Yeah. And you saw both disguises and both...
Yeah. And I really liked the original take on Prince Adam. Like, I liked that...
Yeah. Unexpected as well. I wasn't expecting it when I read
because that is very distinctive from He-Man.
Yeah.
You know, that rich... pompous kind of what would be an English word? Brigand, I think. you know, it's very different from the klutzy, always late version of
in the cartoon,
And it's a much different. It's like his comic book persona is far different from He-Man.
Mm.
And so I really like that.
So you can kind of believe the disguise a little bit more.
Yeah, because otherwise, otherwise, I mean, they still look identical. But, I mean, at his heart in the cartoon, Adam is still, yes, he's a little bit afraid of things. He kind of cowers from danger or makes it seem like he does. But at his core, he's still a good-hearted person that wants to do right. So there's not really a differentiation from He-Man apart from I'm irresponsible and occasionally I fall over and I'm scared of things and you know
something we could explain, which is maybe a little bit of a cop-out, but you could maybe explain that the magic makes him not see that the look is exactly the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Yeah. So maybe like the magic makes them not quite see who he is when he's He-Man. It's almost like they see him, but they don't recognize him, if that makes sense. Which they don't explain that here. So you can't really. It's headcanon, but maybe we could apply that headcanon to this.
I mean, look, you're not going to. We're not going to change anything from the canon. I mean, because we grew up loving it, so we're not going to advocate for changing anything or demand that they change anything. But if he had, let's say, dark hair when he was Prince Adam, and then when he transitioned to He-Man, he's a blonde. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so... some alteration in appearance, I think, would make the disguise.
Yeah, I know in the 2000s cartoon, they made him like it was almost like a teenager, wasn't he? And when he became He-Man, he became a man.
So almost Shazam, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. No, not quite to that level, but.
No, but.
It was a lot. Yeah. It was like a lot bigger, wasn't he? And stuff like that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But. No, the differentiation, the personality in this comic helps a little bit.
Mm.
Once you suspend disbelief and say, hey, they look exactly the same, but screw it, I'll go with it. Like, even Clark and Clark Kent and Superman suffer from the same thing, which is he works with a room full of reporters, one of which is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter.
Yeah.
And he gets by with a paragraph. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
it. Just come on, it's the same guy. But no, I mean, you suspend this belief. If you love this stuff like we do, you suspend this belief. But there are ways that they could have approached it that would have, you know, lent itself to better, to creating a more believable identity.
But I do like that they, like you say here, he's got a different personality, and it's almost like the Clark Kent thing where you can't, maybe you could believe someone, couldn't quite believe this guy could be that, you know, in this case, He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to rate it then? Are we going to do rating-wise? Are we going to rate out of 5 or something?
Want to do story and art separately?
That sounds good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we'll do each out of 5 and then a final grade out of 10.
Yeah. So, do you want to go first?
I'll let you go first. I'll see where
you're... All right, okay. I'd actually give the art of 5 because I really like the art. I was really impressed with it. Story, it might be a bit harsh, probably give it like a 2. But that didn't mean I didn't enjoy it. It just wasn't a riveting... Yeah. I think if it had been longer, I think it would have had the whole comic instead of having a backup story.
Yeah.
I think you could have had I think you could have done a lot better, and I think the plot would have done.
Yeah, as I was reading it, when I got to the back, I'm like, I don't care about this.
No,
yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I think I started reading first panel, and I'm like, no, I can't. So yeah, I'm gonna go an art 5 and a 2 for the 2 for the story. So it's like a 7 out of 10 overall, I guess.
Fair enough. All right, I'm gonna go with in terms of the writing, I'm gonna go slightly higher than you. 2.5 out of 5.
I nearly went 2.5.
Well, we've covered the gamut. And for the art, it's phenomenal. It's fantastic. It's super. It's powerful. There, I put all the cliches in there. It's a 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
So on the whole, the issue gets a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool. So that's it for the main portion of the podcast, Stevens. But before we get out of here, why don't we give our listeners a tease of what's to come, shall we?
Yeah, so we've talked about doing, obviously, more comic book reviews, as you said, which one of the ones you were talking about, was it Justice League and He-Man? Did I hear that? Is that...
It's DC Universe versus Masters of the Universe.
Oh, right, okay, so...
and then there's also... the Masters of the Universe comic that DC's done over the years.
Is that a modern one?
Yeah, it's the modern one.
Do you know at the end of the issue we just did, there was a tease of a Masters of the Universe special? I think we should maybe try and track that down as well if we can. I don't know if we'll be able to get it, but...
If it's on Comixology, I say we do it. But
Yeah. That'd be cool. Do that line, yeah.
But, and then there's also... In continuing with DC, there's... He-Man and Thundercats team up.
Is there? I didn't know. That.
Yeah, so we'll have to review.
Were you also a fan of Thundercats as a kid?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had pretty much all those toys, to tell you.
And so did I, and then they disappeared. and so there's that, and there's also the current miniseries that DC is working on is called He-Man and the Masters of the Multiverse.
Ooh.
And I'm
does
reading
that mean
now,
it means different versions of He-Man?
Indeed it does, sir. And it's phenomenal.
Interesting.
So when it comes up...
Sorry, go on.
When it's finished, you'll have to get it on Comixology, and we'll have to...
I assume they'll do a graphic novel, will they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good, yeah. I'll do that down the line as well. And then obviously we're going to review the classic animated series. We'll also do the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special for Christmas, which that's a given, isn't it, Adam? I think I can say that one, like when on the Batman one, when I tried to get us to do Brave and the Bold and you overruled me and said Batman Returns.
No. Next year's Christmas special on the Batman podcast is Batman Returns. But the Christmas special for this podcast will be the Christmas special cartoon.
Yeah, That sounds good. That sounds good.
Because what else are we going to do?
Well, yeah, true. there's also the 90s series, which we haven't actually talked about. Do you like the 90s series they did with the sort of He-Man in space?
That's the one where he goes in space, right?
Yeah. Because I loved that as a kid growing up. I mean, to me, it was just more He-Man, so...
I mean, there's elements of it that I like, but there's also elements that I'm like, it loses something from the original, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I know they obviously tried to...
I'll put it this way, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I'm in the middle.
They tried to kind of reignite the flame, didn't they? Because they were on decline, weren't they, in sales and stuff at that point, which... To blame various things. I think maybe because the dad had such a long run, kids just wanted something new, I think. Not me, though. I was happy to get more He-Man.
Yeah.
What was funny about the toys for that is, because obviously He-Man was a lot slimmer in that version, but he still had the same face that he had for like the old figures. It wasn't the same like mold, but it was like a smaller mold, but he had the same face. And I was looking back, it looks so weird. Because in the cartoon, it don't look like that.
you know what I... What's funny that you mentioned it? There is that He-Man from space.
Yeah,
is in Masters of the Multiverse.
Really?
And when I saw, you know, I had forgot. What? I mean, as we started prepping for this podcast, I went back and looked, and remembered the show you speak of, but
yeah,
but.
It was called The New Adventures of He-Man.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I was reading that book and he showed up, I'm like, He-Man in space, what the hell? And then I'm reading and then halfway through the issue, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
Expert.
But it's interesting because the original series had 131 episodes, so it was a long run. This had 65 episodes, so it must have done all right to start with, because you wouldn't produce 65 episodes if it wasn't getting an audience, would you?
Yeah, I mean, that's at least 3 seasons.
Well, I think it was classed as 1 season because I think it just all ran together, but...
Yeah, but they didn't, animation...
They didn't used to really do seasons back then, did they? It was just all one thing, so...
Yeah, no, but had they classified it in seasons, it would have been 3.
Yeah.
That's roughly 3 seasons worth.
Yeah, because of the amount of episodes, you mean? Sorry, yeah, got it, yeah. No. And then there is the 2000s, I think it was 2002 or 3, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
Master Universe, which I think season 2 was versus the Snake Men or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I adore, I'll be honest with you right now, I love that version. As a modernized version of He-Man,
yeah,
that's 100% the way to go. And I hope to God Adam and Aaron Nee are looking at that. Come on, boys. I'm telling you, I know you're not listening to this. You're not one of the 3, but you should be. It'll goose our numbers up to 5 if you both listen. but my plea to you guys is I'm on board. I'm along for the ride, however you want to go along with it, because I love this character. But man, you guys are sitting on a gold mine if you do a mix of the 2003 or 2 revival and the DC, the modern DC comic book. It's a gold mine, folks.
Well, I think the thing about this reboot in the 2000s was it was very much cartoons at that point got a bit more mature, didn't it? Like you had, like, because you had like Justice League and that, and in the 2000s, it was like cartoons were very, I don't mean, because you ever said mature cartoons before, but it was very much more about, you know, they'd concentrate on telling great stories and building storylines and stuff where that hadn't happened prior, had it? Even like your Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series, they were very episodic, where this was, it was like a long-running story, wasn't it? Because I remember the transformation of Skeletor, they did it, didn't they, in the cartoon, and it's quite freaky, actually, when you watch that in the cartoon, but, you know, in the old cartoon, you never really, he just looked like Skeletor, didn't he? There was no...
Yeah.
Explanation for it or anything, so yeah, I'm looking forward to diving into that as well. Yeah, and I believe that had a comic book tie-in, I think, didn't it?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah. And then also we'll be doing kind of the reason we launched this podcast was to do this. The We'll do reviews of the upcoming Netflix shows, which are Master of the Universe Revelation, which is the anime one that's come from Kevin Smith, which I believe is a sequel to the original cartoon.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's a new CGI He-Man and the Master of the Universe show, which I assume is going to be its own thing, like a reboot. Yeah,
it's an origin story. So I just got to say, I love the people at Netflix because I would have never thought I'd see another He-Man animated show, let alone two. So somebody over there loves He-Man as much as we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And sir, whoever you are, I would love it if you came on this podcast to talk about He-Man. But aside from that, like, when you're telling me there's a continuation of the show, of the 30-year-old show, and now you're telling me you're putting Kevin Smith on there as the showrunner, and then you're telling me that you're going to use the animation from that Castlevania video game cartoon that Netflix did. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When, where, how? let's go.
Tick, tick, tick.
Like, you're checking all the boxes. Then you're telling me, hey, but we're going to do an origin CG animated, which when they said that, the first thing that came to mind was the Green Lantern animated series.
Yeah,
which,
same.
By the way, the Green Lantern, the side note. But you know what? Screw it, because the DC does the Master of the Universe comic, so I can mention DC on here, damn it. So the Green Lantern cartoon was fantastic. And shame on Cartoon Network for canceling it. Why it's not being brought back on HBO Max or the DC Universe service that I don't have, because it doesn't come here in Canada, is beyond me. But that show should be back. Anyway, so that's the first thing I thought of when I thought of He-Man and CG.
Mission.
But I think this is a genius situation, Stephen, because on the one hand, you are pulling back, or you are gaining the attention and attracting the eyeballs of fans like you and me, who have been fans since day one with this sequel series.
Yeah.
But with this reboot series, you're tapping into another segment of fandom entirely, which is getting new people to love this franchise. Now look, I'm going to watch both because I love He-Man.
Yeah, same here.
That's like telling me, all right, we're going to send you to the a pool party, and there's going to be Playboy models on one end and Maxim on the other. This is like heaven. So I'm going to be watching both. But see, one of our co-hosts, Ryan, okay, Hughesman, has never seen the original He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. I don't think he's going to be inclined to go watch 167 episodes of a 37-year-old TV show.
Yeah.
But, or to keep up with this revival, but he expressed to me that he'd be willing to check out the new show because it's an origin series. So it's genius on their part. And also,
it
feeds so well into the hype machine, so that when the new movie does hopefully come, now you've got the fan base grown.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's bringing attention back to the property and like a wider audience.
Right.
So you can then launch the movie, can't you?
So we're going to definitely review those.
Yeah.
But what we were talking about with the movie...
Do you know which one's coming first? They haven't really announced dates.
Okay, well, because animation takes a lot of time regardless, I'm going to say the one that was announced first is going to come first. So the sequel series?
I thought that because there was a little tease by Kevin Smith with Kevin Conroy, wasn't there, which I was interested in. So I wonder if it sounds like he's going to be voicing someone on the new...
Okay, look, I got to say this right now. If they get Kevin Conroy as He-Man...
Please.
I'm gonna lose my damn mind because, look... My childhood basically consisted of He-Man, Batman, Ninja Turtles, Zorro. I'm going in order of fandom here, as when they came into my life. I mean, then Power Rangers, and then Superman were at the same time because Lois and Clark was my.
All right, okay, that was your gateway. Yeah.
So, not to say that I like Superman fifth best or anything like that.
I got what you mean. You meant the order that it
yeah.
all happened.
Yeah, because I don't want people getting upset. but so, to, now you're going to tell me that you or potentially you're going to tell me that the voice of Batman that I still picture in my head when I read comic books is potentially voicing He-Man? I mean, what's next? Is Warner Brothers going to send me on a lunch date with Gal Gadot and Margot Robbie? Because other than that, does it get any better?
I guess not.
So, yeah, even if he plays Skeletor, I mean, that would be something unique.
That might actually be more interesting, actually, you know.
Because we've never heard him play. I've never seen or heard Kevin Conroy as the bad guy.
He's done very little tiny parts as a bad guy, but nothing like little bit voices in Batman the Animated Series.
Every time we say the bad guy, I want a cartoon of Razor Ramon, but
say hello to the bad guy.
Yeah.
And we also the CGI show. We've actually had two posters. There was one of He-Man. It's kind of in shadow, and he's lifting his arm with the sword. And there was one of Skeletor, which I thought was the cooler of the two.
Yeah, agreed.
Not that the He-Man one wasn't cool as well, but the Skeletor one was really cool. And I thought, if that's what he's going to look like in the cartoon, in the CGI cartoon, I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, shall we wrap up talking a little bit about the movie, just and then we'll call it a day. So, going back to the comic earlier. We talked about Prince Adam's personality in that and Prince Adam's personality in the cartoon. Would you like to see them take that comic Prince Adam we read today and do something similar in the movie?
Part of me wants go full nostalgia and give me that.
Do you not think it's going to be a bit darker than that?
I would hope so, because
I mean, it's not going to go like we were about The Witcher earlier.
It's not going to be The Witcher. It's not going to be The Witcher.
You know, Game of Thrones type thing where you've got naked ladies and
I highly. I mean, listen, if that's the road they want to go, I'm 36 now, so that's good for me. But not necessarily if you're trying to attract a four quadrant movie, which I think is what they're going for. So it might go darker. It won't go, you know, He-Man snapping Skeletor's neck dark, but it'll go dark.
There's only one way this ends, He-Man. Yeah. You die or I die. Martha. Oh, it's okay, we're friends.
Damn it, that's not her name. wrong universe. Superman magically pops in. That ain't gonna work for you. And then we have a cameo from Flashpoint Batman saying, "Why did you say that name?" That supposedly makes $1 million. But no. I don't think it's gonna go that dark, but I think it's gonna be a little bit more serious than the cartoon. And again, than the original cartoon. What I point to in terms of tone is the 2002 or 3 reboot cartoon and DC comic. It's perfect. But would I like to see this version of the Prince Adam persona adapted? I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, something similar. Not the Clark Kent-y.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make him too Clark Kent-y.
And that Clark Kent is catching on, because even I'm saying it now.
We need Clark Kent to be Clark Kent in the next Superman. That's what we really need. For me, what I want to ask you, Stephen, is there are rumblings of Sony selling the movie to Netflix. So how, from what I understand, the talks would what, how this deal would potentially work is Sony would produce the movie, like physically make the movie, right?
Okay.
And then sell it off to Netflix to distribute.
All right, that's interesting.
Kind of so, like,
would Netflix do? You'd be expecting Netflix to do the kind of thing that did with like The Irishman and stuff, where it's in the cinema and then it launches on Netflix.
That's how it could work, because The Irishman was a very similar situation. It was made by a movie studio, and then sold to Netflix. So from what I understand, you know, the actor would remain the same, the directors would remain the same.
Yeah.
Now, so going forward, whether Sony makes the movie for themselves and distributes it, or they make the movie and Netflix distributes it, and then so I'm kind of, look, I would love it to get, you know, full scale 100% theatrical treatment, because I think if you do it right, the studio really does have a property that's a gold mine here.
Yeah.
And
given the animated shows,
yeah,
kind of it's all under one roof, doesn't it?
Yeah. But there's something appealing about Netflix taking control, because just by sheer force that they have two animated series and a She-Ra series.
Mm. I believe that's ending this season, though, isn't it?
Right.
I
think but regardless, I mean, it's clear that they love the property.
Yeah.
I would be a little bit more trusting of them than I would Tom Rothman and Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm of mixed minds of how I wanted to look. As long as I get the movie when I'm told I'm getting the movie, that's my main concern, and that it's good. But I'm not going to rule out the, you know, some people say, well, it can't be good because, you know, Netflix. Don't kid yourself. Netflix can create big budget properties with mythology, and so yeah, I don't know which way it's gonna go, but like I said, either way, just I really do believe these two directors, these two brothers, really love and respect the property.
Mm.
And let them, whoever takes control of releasing this project, let them do their thing. Stay out of their way, and you will be better for it. And yeah, like I said, I hope things continue to move smoothly, and I hope we'll be covering some movie news, some positive movie news, on here very shortly.
Yeah, and like we said, the shows are only going to help the two animated shows, so they're going to create the interest out there. So let's hope this leads to a new Master Universe movie. Because let's face it, right? You know, I complain as a Superman fan, but if you're a Master Universe fan, you've been given the shaft. You've had one movie.
Yeah, you've been waiting.
And that was how many years ago?
You've been okay. I won't say you because we're part of the family. We've been waiting, what, 33 years?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Good Lord. Why do I have to be a fan of properties that take forever to get movies?
I don't know. Maybe all the jinx.
You know, these Marvel people, they got it real good. They just don't understand how good they got it.
Well, you know, they got it good by going bankrupt. That's what happened to them. And then because they got bought on cheap, it ended up working out for them, didn't it? So...
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's what needs to happen with our other properties.
Yeah, but knowing our luck, they'll go bankrupt and we'll never hear anything again.
Never see him again, yeah. But yeah, it's. I think it's exciting times for this property. And
the sun is shining on Eternia, and it's only going to get brighter. How about that? Yeah.
Which Skeletor won't be happy about.
Yeah, well. But yeah, I think that's it, Stephen. I think
that's the show. Yeah,
our first episode is done. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope our listeners will share it with their friends who are Masters of the Universe fanboys and fangirls. We will be doing this on a monthly basis, so one a month.
Yeah.
Which is why it's nice and long, so you'll get your fill for a month. And then, well, this episode's nice and long, but you'll get your fill, and then you'll come back next month. Yeah, we hope you'll come along and join us for this trip through all corners of Eternia. And, until next time, we will see you next month. I want to remind you that all of us as He-Man and the Masters of the Universe have the power. And until we meet again, good journey.
Good journey.
Skeletor. It's over. Yes. For you.
By the power of Grayskull.